a counselor, a coach, and a spiritual director walk into a bar. What comes next is either the greatest punchline of all time or a conversational cocktail that could change your life forever. Jake, Liz, and John are offering you a unique three-way perspective on common mental, emotional, and spiritual struggles. Only you know which perspective you need the most. So grab your favorite beverage, listen in, and decide who you're gonna call.
Welcome back to Who Are You Gonna Call? My name is Jacob Konkalix, along here with my partners in crime, Liz and John. Today is an exciting episode. We kicked off our 10th episode previously, and that was a very exciting one where we talked a little bit more about what we do. And for the next three episodes, we get to actually show you all what we get to do. But before we get into all that fun, guys, what are you guys drinking tonight?
It's Lent, Jake.
We know what Jake is drinking. It's coffee.
Actually, let me just say something. I'm drinking.
It's a story.
I'm drinking red wine. I couldn't pronounce the name.
Is it a feast day that I missed?
It's a feast day in regards to celebrating miracles.
Oh.
I had a few sessions today that were just miraculous. And just to witness my client's courage and step in faith and to see true healing happening. I'm like, I tell them, you got to celebrate this. And I kind of use the example of when you find someone, right? The shepherd finds the lamb. You bring all the peeps together and celebrate. And so, in my own way, I'm going to celebrate for them and with them in that sense.
Beautiful.
So I'm drinking wine tonight.
Well,
I love
congratulations.
That.
Happy feasting.
Yeah.
Happy feasting.
That's awesome.
John, what are you drinking?
I am drinking water until later. Because if we are we're practicing something, I usually don't come into that practicing with any other influences except water. So,
very good.
I respect that.
Very
I appreciate
good.
That. Very cool.
What about you, Liz?
I have a wild sweet orange tea.
Wild sweet orange.
Partially because I haven't 100% decided what I'm giving up as far as drinks for Lent. And I haven't had a drink since Lent started, and I'm just kind of letting it linger out there and seeing if it stays around or not. But also because my husband got me an unexpected chocolate milkshake right before we started recording, and dairy and voice recordings don't mix, so I'm trying to clear my throat.
All the practical things.
All the practical things. It's a very practical evening here.
So, John, when you said later, are you saying like after you do the practice run?
Yeah. I've got a scotch here.
Cool. There's that little detail.
Airstone, land cask, smoky goodness.
Well,
but that's
thank
for later.
You. Mm-hmm. thank you for wanting to spiritual direct without a buzz.
Hey, if we're doing the real thing, we got to do the real thing.
Which spirit is talking right now?
Oh my goodness.
On your end, not mine.
So that's kind of the introduction there. We're going to go with that. We're going to enter into that transition. That for each episode, for the next three episodes, one of us is going to go ahead and do a run through of kind of a 15-minute introduction to what would a counseling, coaching, and spiritual direction. I guess would sound like, since this is over audio, we're going to be real about it, right? So, you know, this is not going to be especially, I don't know about you guys, but when we work with, or when I work with, you know, counseling students or, you know, when I work with interns, whatever the case may be, it's like you got to bring in some real stuff. Maybe not too deep, but
nothing staged.
Something real so that you guys can see more than authentic or hear an authentic conversation. to really understand what we do as a counselor, coach, and spiritual director. Mm-hmm. I'm going to invite you as listeners, though. So when we participate in this, I just want to ask two questions as prompts for you guys to listen to this so you can have something to take away from this. A, what did you notice? Just simply as that, what did you notice emotionally? What were the thoughts, questions that popped up as John and Liz, John being the spiritual director tonight, asked and said? So just kind of what you noticed. And yeah, kind of that curiosity as to like, okay, what one or two things that I want to take away from this 15-minute conversation between a spiritual director and a directory. So setting the stage, okay, and then we can kind of go into it. So Liz, John, take it away.
Really, John, take it away.
All right.
He's in the hot seat tonight.
We'll see who's in a hot seat or not. All right. You ready, Liz?
I am ready.
Okay. Let's begin the session in prayer.
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you are good and loving. You have poured yourself out, and we thank you for the opportunity to come here and just talk about where you have been with Liz over these past days, weeks. Holy Spirit, you indeed are the spiritual director here. So we ask you to guide this conversation. Allow Elizabeth to hear your prompting. Allow me to hear your prompting. And protect us from the snares of the evil one that may try to enter into this space. And ultimately, so that Liz can come to a deeper relationship with Jesus, in whose name we pray right now. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
So Liz, what would you like to bring to direction today?
Oh boy. So I've been thinking a lot about wanting more consistent prayer time, but I am the mother of four small children, and it doesn't feel compatible with my life. And it's particularly bothering me because our pastor is always telling us that God isn't supposed to be part of your to-do list. He's supposed to be the paper on which you write your to-do list. And I always like that analogy, but it becomes frustrating when it's like, well, yeah, I get that God's supposed to be integrated into everything of my day. And I do talk to him all day long, but I also want to know that there is sacred space just for him and our conversations, and there just isn't, and I can't find it. And when I try, I feel like the kids interrupt everything. And so I guess I'm just like, I don't know, looking for some guidance or some thoughts or some tips on how to create space for God at a practical level in my life. Cause it just feels like I don't have uninterrupted time. I have time, but I don't have uninterrupted time. So it feels, he just tends to feel very distant, I guess.
Can you say a bit more about that, that desire for completely uninterrupted time with God as prayer?
Oh man. So oddly enough, I grew up in a huge family, right? I had, you know, 9 siblings, but I was always able to escape because I wasn't the mom. So, you know, it was easy to just go for a walk. And like, even if it was only 10 minutes, I had 10 minutes of time away from my family. Well, it just doesn't feel, I can't just, you know, walk out my front door anymore and go for a walk through countryside. I live in a town. It's not quiet, you know, like, so, and I have 4 children. I can't really just leave them alone. So I work best when I have that quiet time to think and reflect. I love adoration. Like I have 1 adoration hour every week, and that's like a golden hour for me. It's always where I hear God. It just works really well for me, but I want that experience in my daily life. And it just feels like it's one of those things, right? Where like, even when you strategize, it's like you get up super early to do it. And then there's like that one kid who decides to get up with you and they think it's totally acceptable to come talk to you. So yeah. So I just have a desire for time to process and to hear God and to really hear him. Cause again, I feel like I hear him really clear in adoration in my daily life. I feel like I can't hear him because of all the distractions. And even when I try to remove the distractions, some of them he put in my life, like children. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but.
So there's a kind of ideal in your head of getting away to a sacred space with God and the very persons he put into your life are taking you away from him in some sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely think it's funny because I, you know, thinking about it in that sense, it's like, maybe Jesus is interrupting our prayer time, you know, like seeing the kids in that light as like, well, God put them here. And yeah, it's just, it's an interesting visual because then it sort of becomes like, I'm trying to have a conversation with God and then God comes in asking for a glass of water and I get mad at him.
So there's an internal tension between that silent time with God, mm-hmm. but also recognizing that God has approached you in the form of a little child, quite literally, or your husband, or some other thing to do with your vocation.
Yeah, because I think, well, that's interesting. I think I feel like I'm not getting what I need. It's interesting. Like I'm thinking about this in this moment. Like I think I have a very me-centered idea of what time with God looks like. It has to be on my terms, and my terms are a very introverted version of quiet time and connection. And the interruptions instantly feel like. Like I've been looking at it from God, the God perspective of like, I'm not giving him time, but actually he's not giving me the time I want with him. He's giving me this very interrupted, scattered time. And it feels very like, I guess, yeah, almost like in that spousal sense of like, you want to have an uninterrupted conversation with your spouse and the kids keep asking you for things and you're like, stop. But they're the fruit of your marriage. Yeah.
So have you, it sounded like there was a new recognition or another time of recognition that prayer time, there's a self-centeredness aspect to it that is causing attention.
Yeah. Like I'm not asking myself. It feels like I have an expectation, almost like, again, I'm going to use like a dating analogy, but almost like when someone asks you out and then you have an idea of what a good date looks like. And if it doesn't, if the thing you have in your mind doesn't play out in real life, you feel frustrated potentially with the person or just with the situation, even though like, maybe the person didn't promise you that that's what it was going to look like. They just asked you out, you know? And I think I have this idea of like, well, prayer time looks like this. It looks like quiet. It smells like incense. It's peaceful. It's, or even just, it's my journal and a cup of coffee and 45 minutes of silence as I wrestle with my thoughts, because I am a reflective person and I do have a lot of thoughts and it takes me a really long time. Oh my gosh. Like it takes me a really long time to process things. So I'm expecting God to do that for me. But I hadn't thought about it until now that just like, yeah, that expectation isn't necessarily what God is asking of me in my prayer time. It's me looking at God and saying, okay, I'll pray if you can give it to me in this exact way. Otherwise, you don't get my time. It's a little
so
intense.
Now that you've come to a new awareness in this moment of that, what is the next step for you? How would that look moving forward?
I think I would just stop waiting to pray until all of the conditions were perfect. And start trying to just probably just start trying to incorporate it more into the natural rhythms of my day. Like there are probably multiple times throughout the day where I could just check in with God, even if it was only a couple minutes. Again, sort of the same way you check in with your spouse during a work day and you like call them really fast and just to say, hey, or, you know, but again, you know, and maybe even not to stop where I am in my prayer life, but that maybe it's also recognizing that what I'm already doing does count. I think that's the other thing, is that I don't think what I'm doing currently counts because it doesn't look like a consistent prayer life the way I think it should look. It looks interrupted and sporadic, and it looks like me just talking casually with God. Like, I don't know if you've seen Fiddler on the Roof with Tevye and the way he just kind of like chats with God throughout the day. Like, it looks like that. It doesn't look like kneeling with a rosary, but maybe that's fine. Maybe it's okay that it's woven throughout. And it's just a matter of continuously checking in with him more and more, not just looking for that perfect moment where it will feel exactly the way I think it's supposed to feel.
Sounds like a good thing to continue reflecting on and exercising.
Yeah. Yeah, I just hadn't thought about my pursuit of prayer being self-centered, and it really feels that way now. And just not making my desire for quiet, not making the perfect the enemy of the good, right? That's awesome.
So as you dwell with that realization, what internally are you experiencing?
It's funny. In these moments, I always feel like God is, like specifically Christ, is looking at me just kind of like this really pleasant smile of just like reminding me that this is all a lot easier than I'm making it. That like I overcomplicate my faith, that I overcomplicate his relationship with me, that not that it's all, you know, that there's no sacrifices and it's all easy all the time. That's not what I mean, but just that our personal encounters aren't supposed to be manufactured. They're supposed to be that meeting of the soul and that connection. He's supposed to be my safe place. He's supposed to be the person that I know knows me 100% and that he knows what he's getting into in a relationship with me. And I can just be me. And if me is scattered and messy and only has random minutes here and there as a busy mom, that he wants to be there in those busy moments and he wants to hear from me in those moments. So I guess, you know, there's just this feeling of like being seen and also being just accepted in a really kind of like playful, peaceful way. Again, not that he's not expecting me ever to grow, but that he's going to walk with me in the growth. He's not up somewhere like making demands. He's like, come on.
It's constantly with you in those things, walking alongside of you, patiently waiting for those little moments that you can spare.
Yeah.
Appearing to you as a little child, as a bigger child, as your husband, as the annoying neighbor. Just waiting for you to say something because he loves you that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. It's what a wonderful realization to have in this time. Yeah. So I'd encourage you to next time you go into prayer, mm-hmm. next time you go into one of those mom or wife moments, mm-hmm. be aware of the presence of God in that moment and take the moment just to say hi. A casual conversation like Tevye. Even if it's this diaper really stinks, God, that is okay. That is part of the conversation of prayer.
Yeah. That's
and
awesome.
Continue growing in that.
I love it. Oh, thanks, John. That's awesome. I like that. Be aware of the presence of God. That's awesome.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, this seems like a good point to end our session in prayer and give thanks to God for what has happened. Awesome. So, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father, you love Liz so incredibly much that you are there in every mess, in every neatness, in every moment, waiting to talk with her, waiting for her to talk with you. Lord, in that patient waiting, Liz knows that she desires that connection with you as few seconds as it may be or as many minutes as it may be. Help her to continue turning to you in those moments and recognizing you're never going to leave her, no matter how untidy it may feel to her, that you are in fact the God who came into the messy stable. Your name is God with us. Continue revealing yourself to Liz in those moments of her life. We pray all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, John. That was awesome.
Thank you, Liz.
Awesome. So just before we dive into the discussion, Liz, John, how you guys feel?
Oh, that was great. That was so good.
That was not a feeling, Liz.
I feel great. I feel so good. No, I feel peaceful. I feel more self-aware. I feel like peaceful is like, it's the right word, but there's something else under the peace. It's just, I don't know, I guess just more connected to what God's vision is for me personally and how he's trying to build that like one of a kind relationship. This is how he's pursuing me. It might not be what he's doing for everybody, but it's how he's pursuing me. And I think that's what I love about spiritual direction is hearing God's voice in a very unique and personal way. Because I think you can get really confused about what the world is telling you God sounds like. And when you have these encounters where you're able to talk to a spiritual director and, you know, he's that mediator between you and God, or he or she is that mediator between you and God, and you just get to hear Christ so clearly. And it always feels, this sounds silly, it feels clean. It just feels like all the garbage gets moved away inside of me. And I feel like, shiny.
Shiny.
It's like minimalism for your soul.
Liz, I'm wondering, just okay, so that's how you're feeling, that's what you're acknowledging. But just in the last 15, 20 minutes with John, mm-hmm. what was that like? Just your brief commentary on that.
Me?
It was awesome.
Oh, him, her.
Yeah, me still? Me still talking to him? Mm-hmm. It was awesome. I mean, I think it's also awesome at a different level because I've known John for so many years and I know him as a friend. And, you know, he's always had the ability to kind of check in and see how you're doing. I'll never forget. One time in college, he may even remember this moment. We were going through a difficult time with a different friend at one point, and I was not handling it well. And I remember standing in my kitchen talking to John about it, and I had my arms crossed. And I will never forget John looking at me and saying, "Why are you protecting yourself?" And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Your arms are crossed." And as soon as I let my arms go, I bawled. It was just like everything in me just... So John's always had the ability to kind of like kind of get in there and see what's going on, you know, but I haven't experienced him in a capacity of spiritual director. And it's funny because it really, the friendship sort of gets set aside and you get to experience this new element of relationship. And again, yes, you're talking to a spiritual director, but you feel like you're hearing from God. Like you're getting this, like, so in a way the spiritual director almost sort of disappears in your brain. Cause you're like, you're internalizing what's happening and you're looking at God and you're going, what are you trying to tell me right now? You know? And so it's this really cool experience of almost feeling like the spiritual director becomes like an observer versus actually part of the conversation, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And John, how are you feeling? How do you think it went? What was it like on your end?
So it was beautiful just to hear Liz again, that, you know, years of friendship. But it's interesting you mentioned how that almost was put to the side and then it was like a new realm. There were a couple times I really felt that, like, it was, I'm tuning into the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, where are the points that need to be pulled, poked, questions? And it's beautiful to see a path forward, but also be patient with when the Holy Spirit's going to lead that path forward. Because there were some things you said where internally I was going to ask you about things or poke or prod, and then it came out of your mouth. I'm like, never mind. I didn't need to do any of that part. Hands off. I got it.
Mm-hmm. God's like slapping your wrist. Wait. Right. Hold on. I'm almost there. Just wait.
Liz is what we call a great client.
And it's beautiful to, again, I think I've said this before, get a front row seat into what God is doing live in action right then and there.
Yeah.
Again, none of this was scripted. Neither of us knew. It wasn't like Liz, you came and said, hey, by the way, I'm going to talk about this thing.
No.
This was completely cold.
Yeah. And very nerve wracking. I have no idea what I'm going to say. This could be very exposing.
Oh my goodness.
Also, Liz, thank you for sharing that for the benefit of everyone else, your interior prayer life and allowing us to have that that sacred space with you. Just want to acknowledge that that sanctity that you've allowed us to share. So,
oh, thank you. Well, thank you also for making space for that. Holding the space, holding the silence.
Yeah. So to that end, I appreciate that observation there, Liz, because so I'll share my observations and then my questions I want to ask you both. So first off, I haven't heard Liz that quiet before. So I was like, oh, she really turned it just like that.
Get in that little dig. Why don't you?
You know, I'm like, hilarious. Wow, she's really solemn. I like it. I like, not like I like
thoughtful
quiet.
Liz. You're she doesn't show point. Up at Thanksgiving. I only get loud, Liz, at Thanksgiving.
Do you two need a moment for family to do things?
Family, I mean, stuff. Family drama. Stuff.
And that's how it,
it's because he's
started.
Married. He's married to like the only silent Boylan. Well, I guess Rita is too. You, Margaret and Rita are the only quiet ones. Deceptive.
I will say though, it's interesting because, and that's another thing too, though, John, is you matched her really well. As in, and that's another, let's say that's a language used to identify that you, you went down to her tone, you kind of went with her pace, with her rhythm. So that was neat. John, I gotta give you so much credit with the patience and holding the space. Like, goodness me. That is hard for me. I'll be honest with you. And you do it so flawlessly. That was really neat to see you holding that space and going, yeah, letting Liz go her own pace, which I thought was really neat. And your questions were like, okay, cool, like spot on. Your paraphrasing was like awesome. Liz, I appreciate your vulnerability there. Yeah, same here. I can second that because it was very relatable as a parent. So a couple questions, John, in particular that I noticed. And then Liz, I want to see what kind of questions you had. But John, you went with working with her in regards to exploring her desire. and not her experience of distance she was experiencing. I wonder if you can kind of expound on why you went with the more like that positive out, like, okay, tell me about the desire and let's go there versus that suffering that she may be experiencing.
Mm-hmm. It seemed right. Wanted to know a little bit more about that because there was obviously a tension. There's an ideal. Like very early on, I heard that there is an ideal that is being striven for and it's not happening. So there's a frustration. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It just seemed to poke at that would be to poke at the negative side wouldn't necessarily be helpful. It might actually frustrate more. Whereas maybe lifting up, okay, what is the good thing that's not being met seemed more right in this moment, in this particular context. Mm-hmm. Now there might be another context where, well, let's really talk about the negative, more negative aspect to get to something else. But
Yeah, it's funny you asked that, Jake, because I had the same question even in the moment where as soon as I said the word distance, I was like, that feels like a big thing. And then he didn't go that route. And it sort of felt like, I don't know if you guys have had this experience in confession, but like you confess all your sins and there's like three or two or whatever in your head that you're like, for sure, he's going to ask me about these ones. And then he asks about this little, what you consider like a little baby one way over here. And you're like, no, Father, that's not even a big deal. And then you're like, oh, that is the big deal. Yeah, let's talk about that one. You know, so that's how it felt in the moment. Because as soon as I said distance, I was like, I feel like he's going to ask me about that. And then he asked me about something totally different. Yeah. But as soon as that started happening and coming together, I was like, oh no, that is the important one. Like, because honestly, it ultimately leads to distance. If I'm creating a self-centered experience of prayer where I'm focused completely on me, then yeah, there's going to be distance created between God and I, but I'm creating it. It's not God. It's me pushing him away going, no, if you can't be mine the way I want you to be, I don't want you, which is crazy.
Yeah, that was, I appreciate that reflection, Liz. So here's another one. So it's interesting. Like I said, like Liz, she's a coach. She's good at self-reflection. And then something that kind of like I noticed, John, like, and I'm wondering if you get this similar experience where you ask a couple of few probing questions and you kind of have this space where they go from one thought to that thought. And then you bring it back to kind of, let's say, the goal. What happens, right? So at one point, John, you said you know, she went through that reflection of, wow, I guess I'm having these ideals. I'm, you know, I realize I might have these expectations. You went then to problem solving. Or let's say you probed the question, okay, so what do you want to do about it? Or what's the plan? How do you anticipate doing that? Now, because it's Liz, and this is specific to you two, Liz can answer that question. It's like, okay, you know, A plus B plus, well, that's not math, but you get the point.
It might be algebra.
What do you do? Where do you go if a client or a directory says, I don't know. Just, okay, where do you want to go with that? Or, okay, you identify that pattern. Mm-hmm. What might be the next best thing to go about doing that? And they say, I don't know. Or I tried A, B, and C, and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Where do you go from that, John?
There might be a little bit more digging. Okay, so you've tried things before. What didn't work about it? Was it just a different, I don't know, flavor of the same thing? You were looking for this particular thing, and this had an ideal with itself in your head, and so it didn't meet it, and so therefore it, quote-unquote, didn't work. It might be if someone is completely, if it's a new prayer, not like Hail Mary, full of grace, prayer, who really authentically does not know what to do with that, then that would be the point where I would give a little bit of instruction and suggestion to help them discover something. And that might be part of the homework too. Okay, now next time you do this, do this. Mm-hmm. Or next time you go to prayer, start off in this way. And then next time, that's where we'll pick up. How did this exercise work? So it really depends on where that person is spiritually, which just asking that question can also help.
Mm. Hmm. Liz, you want to comment on that? Was there anything that kind of spoke to you that?
No, I think my, oh, I had a question and it went away. I guess I was wondering a little bit about when do you know, like I liked that you, my sort of homework was to be aware of the presence of God, which is fairly vague, but I understood it like 100% and I'm excited about it and I can't wait to try it, you know, from now on. But you know, I guess my question became, okay, for someone who is having, who, you know, is struggling with their prayer life, when do you help them to just drop into that awareness piece or maybe something that's a more, what's the word I'm looking for? Just more about, yeah, I guess just growing that awareness of God, of the relationship of God versus being like, you need to start praying a daily rosary. You know what I mean? Like start leading them towards a more specific prayer schedule. For instance, like you said, if it's a brand new person who doesn't normally like have a prayer life anyway, like, you know, how do you, like, is it, I mean, I'm sure it's all just Holy Spirit driven, but is there something specific that people might say that would lead you one direction or another?
That really depends on each person. And I know that sounds like it could be a cop out, like, oh, you know, whatever.
No, but
the experiences are so unique to the individual and how they are relating with God and how God is relating with them and inviting them that it's hard to say, well, everyone is like this, or this is how I would do it for everyone. So for a growing awareness of God, or even if someone has trouble entering into a prayer time, I might suggest for the first 5 minutes, just picture yourself with God. Like, what does God look like? And you as a little child raising your hands up to God, like him just gazing on you as a child. And if that person has kids, I might say, okay, have you ever just looked at your kid and just smiled? Okay, now put yourself into that. Make that your prayer exercise before you dive into prayer. Try that. And then once they try it, then we come back the next session to go, okay, how did that go? And now there's more content to kind of dissect or dig through.
I love that example because I can think of so many times, especially with certain age children, like think like that 2-year-old and down, especially when they like look up at you and raise their hands. And our two and a half year old Faustina is constantly saying like, can I hold you? Which is ridiculous because no, you can't hold me. I'm huge. But, you know, but the way she does it is so adorable that we almost always pick her up unless we literally can't. Like, I have raw meat on my hands, child. Hold on, let me wash my hands and then I will pick you up. And it's crossed my mind a few times. Like, is this the level of endearing God thinks I am? Because if that's what he's seeing when he sees me, I want to be with him because I know I'm fully accepted, fully loved, fully seen. And he thinks I'm stinking adorable, even though I color on the walls and you know, lick shoes.
Yeah.
So
and
I like
so
that visual.
Even those examples that someone might present then become part of the content. So you already, God already presented, whether you recognize it or not, God already presented you an image to then sink yourself and picture yourself in.
Yeah.
So, you know, use that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they don't come out of nowhere. It comes out of your own experience with God.
That's so cool.
Well, and speaking to your own experience, you know, something that I appreciated, John, was your like near the end, you being able to bring Liz to the here and now and asking like how she was experiencing. Now, being a counselor, I'm more inclined to want to know how where her emotions are at, and there's a rationale behind that too, and I'm not gonna get into it too deeply, but let's just say emotions are a movement of the heart. So where there's emotions, there's value, there's truth and the heart. So you asked her to about her here and now experience. Now overall it seemed like a very logical kind of a progression. You know, logical prayer, reflective. So it's not just like a straight on logic concept, but there seems to be a very, there was a kind of like a, maybe like a lack or like a limit of where your emotions are playing at. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it seemed like, Liz, and correct me if I'm wrong, Liz, but it just seemed like there was a, some sense of emotional ache or emotional sense of longiness. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about that desire. It's like, okay, what's that? I would say, like, what's that pain like? To emote and have this value and that not be attained in that particular ideal, even though it's still a logical ideal, and that may not, and that sets you up for, let's say, that struggle. It still causes pain, and there needs, and I'm curious if there's value, John, in exploring emotions and the movement of the heart in relationship to our relationship with God, where, you know, you talk about this child, you know, being a child, is like, notice how you feel about that, because that's going to give you some clues into how you actually see God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So I wonder if you can like expound on that, John, and how emotions play into that.
Yeah. So again, depending on the context and the circumstances and how long myself and the directee have been together, what's been shared already in the history, that might be a point of gentle pressure or more intense pressure. But just to remind ourselves, both here and for our listeners, God is the one that's doing the directing in spiritual direction. It's not, I found this pressure point that needs to be healed on my time. It's, where is God inviting a deeper relationship from the directee? Where am I supposed to gently poke and prod under the Holy Spirit's direction? I'm like not the sous chef in a surgery. That doesn't work. Wow, that got weird real fast.
I'll have that on a t-shirt for Jake someday.
But the, you know, the assistant in the surgery where the doctor is saying, you know, I need scalpel. Whereas I think, I feel like Jake, your part, and forgive me if I'm not getting this, your profession is getting into how do we actually heal this right now with all of the things. I feel like, I wonder if that's a distinction. You're looking and seeing pain points and suffering, and that needs to be healed. And that's your lens. And mine is, God's inviting this particular thing at this particular time. And Liz is open enough to see something about it. And so that's where we're going. I don't know.
I appreciate that reflection, because I'll be honest with you. I think that's something that I noticed. So first off, like, my notice experience was like, I was very much impressed, John, with just your craft and your ability to, I can hold that space. Gosh darn it.
I say
that because one of my sessions today, although incredible and it was a miraculous experience, I jumped the gun a few times where she was talking and I got excited and okay, whatever. but I also noticed a little bit of that frustration where I'm like, ooh, like, there's a lot there that, and you use the analogy of a surgeon, and I would, not in the correlationship of which is better, and not in the correlationship of putting myself with God, but let's say in the professional sense, I would see that, like, I'm kind of the surgeon as well, to the extent of, like, I articulating, okay, where I need to go. Now, it's interesting because I feel like, John, you have the more pressure of all of us in that you have to be very attentive to the Holy Spirit. Now, I would definitely argue that a good therapist, a good coach, is also very attuned to the Holy Spirit. But your profession, in a very direct way, is like, you kind of have to get God involved so directly that if you, I imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but I imagine if, let's say, I think, oh, we need to go there, that you have to kind of actually kind of evaluate that through the lens of, okay, is that me or is that God?
Yes.
In the present moment as it's happening before you.
Yeah, there is this internal dance that is happening from the spiritual director end. How much is me? How much is the Holy Spirit? So, you know, Liz and I have a friendship. So there can, like, right at the beginning, there was this little internal dance of, okay, where are we going? Is this going to change anything? That's not from, you know, that's just natural stuff. In the midst of it, I might hear from a directee something that I have struggled with or am struggling with now. Okay, this is not about me. This is not me giving advice about here's how you manage that. How is the Holy Spirit inviting this directee in front of me to participate more fully in that as themselves? Not as John. You're your own thing. This director. That's why you go to spiritual direction too. And if your spiritual director is not going to direction, you need a new spiritual director.
Amen.
Anyway, that's your expert tip there.
But you know, it's funny because I was thinking that. I was like, you could so easily jump in the pool and be like, oh, kids, let me tell you how to deal with this. Mm-hmm. Like, you could have started giving me practical, I'm the father of a large family type tips. Yeah. And I would have totally eaten them up, but it wouldn't have been spiritual direction anymore. It would have been friends, you know, sharing advice, which again is a beautiful thing by itself, but it's not spiritual direction. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you said something else and I was so excited. Well, you guys keep talking. I'll think of it.
Well, I was going to ask you, John, in the context of like that internal dance, because something kind of stuck out to me was just like, that's a lot of, I say, that's a lot of thinking. there's a lot, it's almost like, and I think you mentioned like a couple episodes back, like it is a three-way conversation. Like you really are like facilitating a conversation between them and God. How do you though, because in the word spiritual direction, there is a certain component where you kind of have to be direct. And I'm wondering how you discern that, how you evaluate, like, okay, I need to step in and kind of give you the answer or at least counsel you on maybe that's not the best thing to do, especially if they're not getting it. How do you deal with that?
Yeah. Depends on the relationship and the context. I know from my own direction, as in me as directee with a director, sometimes my director will ask me questions and I'll give, and I think I've mentioned this before, I may give vague answers or like, I don't know, not fluffy answers, because I know the actual answer. I just don't want it to come out of my mouth. And my director looks at me in the virtual eye and goes, John, you know the actual answer. I need to hear you say the exact answer that you are hesitating. But that's because we have this relationship. He knows me. We've been doing this for a while. He can and has that space and permission to do that. Mm. Now there's also wisdom in, I think it's Ignatius points us out that it sticks more readily when it comes from the person themselves, not just imposed. So that Liz in this session could recognize maybe it's more about me, becomes more powerful, might stick with her more than if I just go, Liz, you're making prayer about you.
You're being selfish. Yeah, because who listens to that guy? Like, well, shut up. I don't have to listen to you. You're just my friend, John.
Right. In fact, walls go up. The enemy comes in. Sure. We've introduced the enemy. And now we're fighting a war that didn't need to be waged at that particular moment.
Yeah. And you know, and it's funny, I was even thinking about it when Jake was asking about the emotional piece. And I felt frustrated tonight while I was like in the topic, not at you, in the topic I was talking about, I was frustrated at my prayer life, but I didn't have any kind of big emotional, like deep thing going on. I just felt like, why isn't this working? And I think because it was coming from a selfish perspective of I should be able to organize this the way I think I should be able to organize it. Like it was this controlling thing. It wasn't, because I've had the emotional moments in spiritual direction where I cry and it's super vulnerable and there's lots of big feelings. And, you know, occasionally my spiritual director will address the emotion a little bit because again, he's known me for like 14 years. Like he knows when something's really like working at me and he can, you know, kind of go there. But it was just interesting because I think even the fact that it was about my self-centeredness. So there wasn't really even space for a deeper emotion because it was like that self-absorption control thing.
So anyways, just those 2 cents.
Love to unpack that one.
It's a dark place, Jake.
In part two, Jake takes it away.
Jake's like, actually, everyone's getting counseled.
Group therapy, baby. this just took a turn. Oh my goodness. No, I appreciate those reflections, and you know, it's pretty exciting to see. And I'll be honest with you, John and Liz, but like I've been in spiritual direction in the context of like going to a priest, but to kind of see you, John, to take on and just your and I think in terms of like technique, but even just like your openness to allow God to direct you, to direct Liz, was really inspiring and pretty cool. Really cool to see.
Praise God. And hopefully some of our listeners also are inspired to, if they're not seeking spiritual direction, to go find a spiritual director and make that active pursuit.
And I think this conversation is proof that you don't have to be in crisis. You don't have to be discerning something crazy. This is about getting spiritual help in your daily life, irritating little struggles in your relationship with God. Like, it doesn't have to be, it can be, but it doesn't have to be about discerning your vocation or discerning a job change or, you know, someone died and you're in sort of a spiritual crisis over it or any of those things. It can just be, you know, I don't hear God very clearly anymore and I don't like praying the rosary. And prayer is boring, and I get distracted during Mass.
You know, the normal stuff.
The normal stuff that everybody does, where like instead of listening to the homily, you're like, that lady has great earrings.
Oh, my goodness. Awesome. Well, there you have it, folks. Spiritual direction, okay? Definitely consider about, you know, taking on that possibility of that. You feel like the God's leading you in that direction, on taking a partnership, a companionship of working in your spiritual life, because to think that you can achieve holiness on your own, got another thing coming to you. So to consider, following through with that. Now, again, I hope you guys came away with things that you've noticed. If you have questions, if you have concerns, or if you have just comments that you want to make as to what you noticed as you were listening to John and Liz, please post that, you know, please make a comment or ask that question in the comment section or on our Instagram page where we can, you know, hopefully John can reach out and answer your questions.
Yeah, send us a DM.
That you may have found to be interesting. So please respond. Please reach out. And we'd love to engage you guys and answer your questions. So that'll be all for today. What's the next episode? What's the who's doing what?
I think I'm coaching Jacob. Yes. And John is going to host and spy on us and then ask intrusive questions.
Excellent.
I'm gonna bring my deepest, darkest secrets.
It doesn't have to be a secret. It just has to be a thought.
Did you hear that? Singular, not multiple.
It could be parenting is hard, and we will work our way through that puppy.
Here we go.
Perfect. Awesome. So We there's a lot more to come, so please continue to listen. If you like what you hear, please go ahead and press like, share a comment, and we just give you guys we just really appreciate you guys listening in. We love doing this. We love doing this for you, and we hope that the Lord is, you know, providing some you know, good stuff. I don't know. Awesome. All right. Well, you guys enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll see you next time on Who You Gonna Call?
Or morning, or afternoon.
Again, the evening thing. Why?